This coming Tuesday, it would have been exactly a month since the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 simply vanished. It is now considered the biggest mystery in aviation history. The search areas changed many times, but not a single evidence of debris has yet been found. And we can only imagine the anguish of the loved ones and relatives of the 239 people on board. We can only pray that this mystery will find a solution soon, but it also exposes the limitation of human technology. Now, I just imagine, what if the search is not about a material thing? What if the search is about our Christian testimony? Kung ang hahanapin ay ang ating patutuong Kristiyano, anong ebidensya na dapat makita? Paul will use an important word that should be part of any Christian testimony. He said and he confessed how he behaved. And this is part of Paul's word to the restored part of the Corinthian church after a serious falling out. A part of the church remained unrepentant, and they are addressed at the latter section of the second letter. This is our series the past 2 years ago, Nature of the Mature. But thankfully, the majority is repentant. And in the first section of this letter, Paul seeks to be restored with them. After giving an explanation for the reason for going through his affliction, Paul now explains something. Remember, the original charge against him by his opponents was his apparent changes of plans of visiting Corinth. Nagkaroon ng mga pagbabago sa plano ni Pablo matapos niyang sabihin na balak niyang dalawin ang Corinto. Ngunit dahil nga sa iba't ibang pagkakataon ay nabago ang plano na yun, ginamit ito ng kanyang mga kaaway para sabihin na tingnan niyo si Pablo, mahina ang kanyang karakter, hindi maaasahan. So this was exploited by his opponents to raise a charge against Paul as a weakling in character, someone who cannot be trusted. Now, Paul addresses that very issue. He does so by explaining the general direction of his behavior before tackling the issue itself. What Paul says about his behavior becomes a teaching point for Christian behavior in general. And I would invite you to turn your Bibles with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and our text now is verses 12 to 14. The second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 12 to 14. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and acknowledge, and I hope you will fully acknowledge, just as you did partially acknowledge us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. Now, he uses here a word which in the ESV is translated as boast. In the KJV, it's rejoicing. In the New American, it is confidence. It is referring to something that Paul has no doubt about. He is confident about this. It is about how he has behaved, whether in the presence of unbelievers in the world, and he says here, even supremely towards you, how he behaved before unbelievers, and even more consciously, how he behaves before his brethren. And what dictated that behavior, he says, is his conscience, his consideration of the coming judgment of Jesus Christ. And it tells us something concerning what Christian behavior ought to be. And this is my message. Christian behavior must be dictated by conscience, oriented to the judgment of Christ. Ang ugaling Kristiyano ay dapat diktahan ng konsyensya na nakaangkop sa paghahatol ni Kristo. Christian behavior must be dictated by conscience, oriented to the judgment of Christ. Now, when Paul explains the changes of his decisions concerning his visit to Corinth, it is not out of weakness. The issue is not whether it is expedient or convenient for him. It is not whether it is popular to others. It is consistent with how his behavior in all issues is dictated. And he uses the word conscience. And when you say conscience, it is an issue of right and wrong. So in other words, his decision first to visit and then later on changing his decision not to visit, in both cases, he is saying what dictated that is not whether it is popular, not whether it is expedient or convenient. To me, the first issue is simply whether it is right or wrong. Conscience dictated it. And we see here a lesson about Christian behavior for us as well, whether in the world or in the church. There are two things that we can see here. First is the motive of genuine sincerity, ang motibo ng totoong sinceridad. And secondly, a vision of judgment vindication, pangitain ng pagpapatunay sa paghuhukom. Vision of judgment vindication. First thing then, what makes for a Christian behavior dictated by conscience? First is motive of genuine sincerity. Kung magkakaroon tayo ng ugaling Kristiyano na nababatay sa konsyensya, ang inungkat ni Pablo dito ay motibo, our motive. And the motive is genuine sincerity. Paul uses here two words to describe his behavior. And both are aspects of what we call sincerity. The first word he used is translated here as simplicity. It pertains to singleness of purpose as opposed to being double. You know, sometimes we talk of people as being double-tongued, double-faced because they show one thing but really hides another thing. They say one thing, and yet in themselves, they are actually thinking another thing. And Paul is saying, I am not like that. My behavior is dictated by simplicity. What you see is what you get. What you see outside is what I am inside. The second word he used is more properly translated here as sincerity, in the sense of being pure, unadulterated, or what we would today call without ulterior design. So here we learn what Christian behavior is that is sincere. Christian sincerity derives its external behavior from internal genuineness of motive. Ang ugaling Kristiyano na may sinseridad ay nanggagaling sa totoong diwa ng motibo sa panloob. Totoo ka sa panloob, yan ang hinihingi na motibo ng isang Kristiyano. Paul is explaining that what the Corinthian people see in his behavior is what really is inside. Even in his letter writing, he says. For he says, we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand. So here is an understanding of Christian behavior that is distinctively and pervasively Christian. It is from genuine motive. Ito ay mula sa pagkatotoo ng ating motibo. Behavior includes the way you communicate to people, the way you treat others. For many, behavior is dictated by self-interest and what they can gain for self-advantage or perhaps self-glory. And this is what Paul explicitly denies. This, he says, is earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is good at taking advantage, manipulating for self-gain and self-interest. You see this in some of the best-selling books concerning behavior. I think particularly of two best-selling books by Robert Greene. One has the title, The 48 Laws of Power, and really it means how to exercise power over others. And then the other book is The Art of Seduction, Using Attraction in Order to Gain Advantage. Well, that's earthly wisdom. Manipulation. The desire to gain advantage over another. We see this supremely in politics. Our own Carlos P. Romulo is the original of a quotation that is now cited worldwide when he said, in politics, there are no permanent friends, just permanent interests. And you see this every time election is near, the changes of alliances. Yung mga dating magkakampi, naglalabanan. At pagkatapos niyan, magkakaroon na naman ng bagong alyansa na mga dating magkakalaban, magkakampi na. Ay minsan matutuloy ro ka sa politika. But that's what social behavior is, dictated by self-interest, manipulation. Christian behavior is not like any of this. In Christian behavior, as Paul explains, what you see externally is what it is internally. Kung anong nakikita nyo sa labas, ito ang talagang nasa kanyang kalooban. And that's why we use the word genuine. We use the word genuine to contrast with what is fake, what is bogus. And it is so easy to fake behavior. Paul is not behaving from any fake motive towards the Corinthians. He genuinely wants their good. In fact, that is what dictates his behavior in general to the world. And then he says, supremely so toward you. And that is Christian behavior. That is not something that is pervasive in the world. There is this popular song that goes, honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard. And how true that is to describe the world. There is no honesty, whereas in Christian behavior, we derive that behavior from motive. And motive must be genuine. Totoo. Motive is like the internal combustion of a machine, like the car engine. It ignites its own energy within. That's why the machine moves, the car moves, because there is internal combustion. That's what motive does. It makes you behave the way you do because of that motive. So if your behavior is to gain self-advantage, it is because of a fake motive, a motive that is not genuine. What will make you behave in a Christian way is a genuine motive. And Apostle Paul knows that this is by the grace of God. That's why he contrasts earthly wisdom. Now you may think that the proper contrast is divine wisdom. Instead, he contrasts divine grace, the grace of God. The challenge to us is plead for grace to set your inner motive aright. Umapila ka ng biyaya. Magsumamo ka ng biyaya upang ituwid, iwasto ang iyong panloob na motibo. To many, external behavior is a matter of skill that is rehearsed and refined, and they think of behavior as a series of practical steps. To others, behavior is just about conformity. Do as the majority does, and you will not appear a stranger. But to the Christian, you see, behavior is supremely one that derives from motive. And when Paul thinks of motive, he uses here a word that he uses more than any other biblical writers, conscience. This is an important word for Paul. This is to him what explains man, among other things. For Paul, conscience is that part of our humanity that weighs what is right and what is wrong. A healthy conscience is that which chooses what it believes is right, no matter what. And Apostle Paul is such a man. When he was defending himself in Jerusalem before his fellow Jews, this is what he says in Acts 23:1, "Brethren, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day." When he was explaining his desire to go to Jerusalem, in Acts 24:16, he says, "So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man." Here is a man whose conscience is without a price tag. He will not sell his conscience to what is popular. He will not sell his conscience to what is expedient. And when you are a man of conscience, the first issue to you, as it was to Paul, is whether it is right or wrong. If it is right, a good conscience chooses it. Even if it is unpopular, even if it is inconvenient, he chooses it. And that is what Paul is explaining to the Corinthians. My decision whether to visit Corinth or my later decision to suspend visit to Corinth is not because of a weakness of character. It is not because of indecisiveness. On the contrary, whatever dictated my decision is because that is what I see to be the right thing to do. Dictated by conscience. Others will decide based on earthly wisdom. But Paul decides by conscience, and he says it is by the grace of God. This is the Christian way of motive. What grace has done to us. And when we think of what grace has done to us, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to take our sins, substitute in our place, so that the punishment of the law may be meted out on him. Otherwise, it would be too heavy for us. It will find us in hell. But Jesus took it, and that is grace. And one of the effects of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is reshape our inner motives so that what comes supreme is conscience. Ang inuuna ay ang konsyensya. So, you ask the question by way of self-examination, how am I behaving? What do people see in my behavior, whether unbelievers or believers? For Paul says, both in the world and supremely towards you. What is your behavior like? Is it conscience that dictates it? One of the greatest Christian classics, without doubt, is Jonathan Edwards' Religious Affections. And there he contrasts different inner motives and he dissects the Christian motive which produces spiritual fruit. And he calls it religious affections. A motive that is driven to Christ. And that is the challenge for us tonight. Even as we would remember the Lord's death through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, let it weigh upon us once more in such a fashion that it becomes motive changing. That brings conscience to the forefront supremely. Motive of genuine sincerity. Second, vision of judgment vindication. Ang pangitain niya o pag-asa niya na mapapatunayan siya sa paghuhukom. Paul here remarkably adds, on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. He is conceding here that at the point of his writing, the Corinthian brethren have not fully understood him. They have not fully acknowledged his reasons. But he is not going to change his decision just to gain their full support. Rather, he is looking forward to a full vindication when judgment comes. What he teaches us concerning our behavior is this. The ultimate standard of Christian behavior is the judgment of Christ. Ang pinaka-ultimong pamantayan ng ating ugaling Kristiyano ay ang paghahatol ni Kristo. Now, when I talk of judgment of Christ, I am not now talking of settling salvation and condemnation. That has already been settled for the believer. When he cast his faith upon the Lord Jesus, that matter of salvation or condemnation has been settled. For Romans 8:1 tells us there is now no condemnation
to those who are in Christ Jesus. And my friend, if you are not in Christ, that is what you are missing. You are still under condemnation. And judgment to you will be a judgment of condemnation, a judgment leading to damnation. But to the Christian, the judgment we are talking about is the judgment of Christ's approval. His approval of how we are behaving. His pleasure. It is happening now. But the final revelation of His approval is in the day of His coming, which Paul here calls the day. Now, while Paul is not insensitive to the opinion and judgment of Christian brethren, he made sure they are not primary. In an earlier letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, he says, "With me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not hereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me." Ay pinagkahambing at pinagsasalungat niya. Hindi siya natatakot ang kanyang sinasabi sa paghahatol o paghuhusga ng mga kapatiran sa Korinto, sapagkat ang mas iniisip niya ay ang hatol ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Kaya anuman ang kanilang panghuhusga, hindi niya babaguhin. Ito man ay ang kanyang pangangaral, ang kanyang pakikitungo sa kanila, o ang kanyang mga desisyon na sa kanyang paniniwala ay makabubuti sa kanila, hindi niya babaguhin sapagkat ang iniisip niya ay ang pagtanggap, ang kaluguran ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Now, does that explain our Christian behavior? We need that mental discipline that we are under the probing eyes of our Lord, and therefore we behave oriented to that approval of the Lord Jesus. If you are watching the TV popular program American Idol, it is now in the stretch where decision comes from audience votes. And you can imagine that these candidates or singing contestants are singing for that vote, popularity. Well, that is not what dictates Christian behavior. Not audience votes, not popularity, but first and foremost is the judgment of Christ. So there will be those moments when we will be put in a situation where we need to choose. And the challenge to us is choose the judgment of Christ over the judgment of men. It must have hurt Paul that brethren in Corinth are accusing him of being weak-minded and indecisive. Isipin nyo, si Pablo ang nag-umpisa ng iglesyang ito. At kung babasahin nyo ang mga kaganapan sa pag-uumpisa niya ng iglesyang ito, naghirap siya para maumpisahan ng iglesyang ito at di gusto niyang dalawin, ngunit nagkaroon sila ng sigalot. At ngayon, narito ang isang bintang kay Pablo na mahina ang kanyang karakter at pabago-bago ang kanyang mga desisyon. He will explain later that his change of plans was dictated by his desire of what is best for them. But ultimately for Paul, he can live with their false judgment because of that coming judgment of Christ. And brethren, we need the same principled decisiveness. We are too often moved by the opinion of people, of us. Masyado tayong natatangay ng opinyon ng mga tao tungkol sa atin. Are you at the point of making public your faith by following the Lord in baptism, but perhaps restrained by what others will say? Are you persuaded in your mind that you should take the step of baptism, but under pressure? You cannot change the opinion of people, sometimes even of brethren. But there is a time of vindication. It may happen soon. Paul here is hoping for their full understanding later. And in that sense, There will be vindication for him even now in his lifetime. But even if it will not happen in his lifetime, what he is saying here is, I am going to hope for the vindication when the day of Christ comes. Iniisip niya ang paghahatol ng Panginoong Hesukristo. And if we continue what he was saying in the first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:5, he says, therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. What he's saying, in short, is, I don't care about your criticisms ultimately, because I'm looking forward to the commendation of Jesus on the last day. And when that happens, you too will fully understand. Not now, you don't understand fully now, you don't acknowledge fully now, but then, when Christ shall show what has it been like all along, then you too will fully understand. Paul is fully molded by that expectation. Yung kanyang inaasahan sa paghahatol, yun ang nagdidikta ng kanyang kilos, ng kanyang desisyon, ng kanyang ugali sa mga mananampalataya. Think of one, probably, who takes offense at your rebuke. Yet, on the day of Christ, he will thank you, if not now. But if because you do not want to offend, you restrain rebuke, think of the displeasure of Jesus Christ. And to Paul, this is what is weighty more than anything else. Gusto niyang mag-isip ng mabuti sa kanya ang mga taga-Korinto, ngunit ang mas higit sa kanya ay ang nalulugod sa kanyang ugali, sa kanyang pagkilos, ang Panginoong Hesukristo. That to him is the ultimate standard. He puts it this way in Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. It's just the one or the other. If you are a man pleaser, then you are not seeking the approval of Christ. And if you are seeking the approval of Christ, your main standard, your supreme standard will not be man pleasing. So which is it? There may be matters of clashes and collision in some of your decision making. And what is dictating your decision? Is it pleasing men or pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the greatest controversies in Christian history is known as the downgrade controversy. It involved Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Baptist preacher of the 19th century in England. And on the other side is the association to which he once belonged, the Baptist Union. And because the Baptist Union was adopting some liberal teachings, he resigned. And he was loudly criticized for that. And when the Baptist Union met in order to vote on a new confession of faith, it was seen by many to be a move of sanction by the association on Spurgeon. And what hurts most on a personal level for Spurgeon is that one of those who made the motion to adopt the confession was his own brother. And ultimately, the vote was, I think, 204-7 against, and the confession was adopted. After that, Spurgeon wrote an editorial in his church magazine in which he says these words, I am willing to be eaten by dogs now, but future generations will vindicate me. And those words proved prophetic. He is today a very popular, his books today are very popular, and he remains a major influence, even though at that time it must have felt so hurtful for him. But he stood his ground because for him it was pleasing Christ and not pleasing men. The challenge is to us. What explains our behavior? What explains our decisions? What explains our ultimate choices? Is it to please Christ or to please man? And this calls for searching and self-examination on our part. And that is what the last hymn that we will sing is asking us to do, or is pleading that we do. Search me, O God. Know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. And let the thought be what Paul here said, what explained his behavior is his conscience. And what dictated his conscience is the approval and pleasure of the Lord Jesus. Search me, O God. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, nagpapasalamat kami sa hamon na narinig namin sa patotoo ni Apostol Pablo kung paanong ang kanyang ugaling Kristiyano ay binuo at hinubog ng kanyang konsensya saan man siya naroroon at ano man ang kanyang ginagawa. Siya man ay kasama ng mga hindi mananampalataya sa mundo o higit sa lahat ay kung siya ay sa harap ng mga kapatiran. Siya man ay nagsasalita o nagsusulat ang nagdidikta ng kanyang ugali, ng kanyang pakikitungo ay ang katotohanan ng kanyang motibo sa kalooban niya. At ang kanyang motibo ay tinawag niyang konsensya. What dictated his behavior is the motive of his conscience, which means that it is a judgment of what is right as against what is wrong. He did not settle issues by expediency, not by convenience, not by popularity, but to him supreme as a standard is that whether it is right or whether it is wrong. And he chose what is right, be it unpopular or inconvenient, because that is what conscience dictates. And we pray that we may have the same conscientiousness, the same principled Christian motive, that what is genuinely sincere within us is that it is conscience that dictates our behavior. And one thing that it needs of us to do is orient it to the vindication of judgment. The thought that Jesus Christ, on the day that he comes, will present his approval, his pleasure, and even now on a day-to-day basis, we are courting that approval, that pleasure, and avoiding disapproval and displeasure. And yet many times we confess the pressure of men-pleasing is just so strong. The desire to have the opinion of others to be positive of us is something we desire too much. And because of this, in those clashes, collision, and conflict of choices, we often choose for what is pleasing to man rather than what is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may this confession and testimony of the Apostle Paul be both a rebuke and a challenge to us that we are to choose more than pleasing men. The first thing is pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to those who may be on the edge of making an important decision in their lives, perhaps pertaining to their Christian profession, their desire for baptism, their desire for service and ministry, their testimony. We ask, O Lord, that what would dictate their decision is that it will please the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what others may say. So grant that we may follow the example here of the Apostle Paul. And we know that we can only do so, as Paul here appeals, to the grace of God. So we ask for your grace to be poured out upon us in abundant measure, that we, like Paul, may have the confidence that the testimony of our conscience is that we behave with simplicity, with godly sincerity towards all, whether in the world or most importantly, before our brethren. So we ask that you may prepare us even for the Lord's Supper tonight, that it may bear its weight upon our consciences, that we may, it may have such a motive-changing effect that we may behave how Christians should behave. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.